When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Anthony Barr, Mike Zimmer, talked about how his health is paramount, getting ready for week one. What's your confidence level that that's going to be the case?
I'm not sure what – today I can't tell you if he's going to be ready week one or not. He's doing everything he can rehab-wise to get back in there and – hopefully we have him week one. If not, we'll have somebody step in and play for us.
I feel like Adam Zimmer wasn't supposed to say that.
Oh, au contraire. I think his dad gave him the green light to say that.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Really?
Because don't forget, Mike told us on Saturday night, I am concerned. I'm not concerned about the football player. I'm concerned about his health. No, I think this is... I think Adam, at first I thought he wasn't supposed to say that, but I think he was sort of told, hey, you know what? Go ahead and throw this out. Because you know,
Are you saying they're throwing Anthony Barr under the bus? Is that what you're saying?
Mike's done it before.
He loves Anthony Barr. He doesn't throw
him
Barr
under the bus before.
Really?
Yeah, like what, 5 years ago, he basically said something.
Well, he said
about
he wasn't trying
effort.
Harder. He was like coasting. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
That's the worst thing you can say about a football player.
Yeah, he literally called Anthony Barr kind of lazy on the football field, right?
He once called the offensive line soft.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft. Soft. This is Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, presented today by Federated Mutual Insurance Company. If you're a business out there, just make sure that you have all of the protection and resources you need to maximize your business and to minimize risks and intruders. You got your offensive line. Hopefully it's better than the Vikings was last year. That's Federated. The defense on the other side are things that could happen to your business. Make sure you have a good offensive front. Federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right, so I rarely start things on Twitter, as you guys know.
No, not you.
I very rarely mix it up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Never done that.
Never do that.
No, it's maybe a couple times a year. Maybe. So, you know, I tweeted, I just feel like, and I have probably held this sentiment more than Judd over the years. I feel like people get so amped and ready to fire Mike Zimmer, right? Like just fire, you know, something goes wrong, it's like you gotta get a different younger coach in here and Eric Bieniemy and this and that. And I'm not fully disagreeing with that. I would love a more offensive-minded, modern head coach. I would love someone who has a relationship with his starting quarterback, for one. Like, I watch Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford look at each other like it's their first date every time they're at practice and rave about each other. And I wish that Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins had some sort of relationship. So I do wish those things. But when you start to look at the actual data and the facts, Mike Zimmer as a head coach going into his eighth season with the Vikings is 64-47-1. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's like the seventh best winning percentage. If you look at like the longest tenured coaches that have been around for at least 3+ years, it's one of the top 6 or 7 winning percentages in the NFL. And the other guys ahead of him are mostly Super Bowl winners, if not all Super Bowl winners. So, like, yeah, on one hand, he's the only one without a Super Bowl, and at some point it's time to go. It's time to do something deep into the playoffs. His train wreck seasons are 7-9. Like, last year was kind of a train wreck. They start 1-5. And I think much to the chagrin of us and a lot of other people, it would have been nice to have a top 5 draft pick and then reset. Like, why would you want to go through the trouble of finishing 7-9 when you could have finished 3-13, had a better draft pick? But he coaches his teams up. They're competitive. And so I think my question to you guys is, are we too quick to just throw Mike Zimmer on a hot seat this season? Is it one of these things where we should be careful what we're wishing for, putting Mike Zimmer on a hot seat?
I think that's a very complicated question, because I think the answer is not just yes or no. I think the answer resides in the expectations of this team, where they were as far back now as 2017. The decision, which was made by Spielman, clearly not Mike, to sign Cousins, to bring in a quarterback who was supposed to, in 2018, put you over the top. That was not a, hey, I hope this all works out great in 3 years. That wasn't an immediate move. There's also the conversation about the life expectancy as far as your tenure as a coach goes. Now, the Steelers are super weird that they've had three coaches since 1969. But I mean, the shelf life thing for most organizations and teams is real. So does Mike Zimmer deserve to be fired because he's a bad coach? Let's take that question first. The answer is no. Mike Zimmer is a good football coach. Does he have blind spots? Absolutely.
Bill Belichick has blind spots as an evaluator, right?
Yes. And Mike, when it comes to coaching or caring about or being invested in offense in a league, which, by the way, sells offense constantly, is a blind spot, I think.
Yeah.
But he knows how to coach defense. Is he a bad overall coach? He's got some blind spots, but no, he's not. So if the question is simply, should Mike Zimmer be replaced because he's not good at what he does, which some coaches should be. There have been a lot of guys who have ascended from coordinator to head coach, and they were fantastic coordinators. But do I see a path this year where a lot of important people are possibly in jeopardy? Absolutely. But no, Mike Zimmer, like, if the argument is he's just a bad coach, I disagree completely with that.
Where are you at with this, Dex?
I am pretty staunch Mike Zimmer defender. I like what he's been able to do. Yes, does he have some old school tendencies of likes running the football and likes defense first? I get that. Passing is now the sexy thing in the NFL. You want Sean McVay's, you know, you want Clint Kingsbury, you want these new NFL young head coaches. But I do think he's done a great job at turning around the culture of the Vikings, and in general knows how to win. Last year, I was shocked on just how I thought the Vikings defense would still be at least passable, even with Danielle Hunter going out and whatnot and having a bunch of rookies and no OTAs and training camp. I thought Zimmer was going to be able to cook up enough defense still, even with unproven and rookies around that defense. But I think it also showed that how much they missed that training camp and how much they missed all that time together. But in general, I'm a big Mike Zimmer fan. I do think he's probably coaching for his job this season, long-term wise. They need to have a playoff win or two to solidify his case to stick around. But yeah, 7 years of what he's been able to do, I mean, it's pretty damn impressive. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big Mike Zimmer stan.
I also think we don't probably because we talk about Cousins and Zimmer a lot, but I think we probably haven't talked about enough in this town the seemingly shotgun marriage of coach and quarterback that Spielman forced, too.
Zimmer never wanted this marriage.
But that's my point.
Right? Like, but this, I mean, was, it, this was, yes, pre, you're 100% right.
It's a pre-arranged marriage. It's an old school, you are going to marry this quarterback, but I don't want to.
And Spielman as the father in this situation is like,
yes,
if you don't make this marriage work, then we're going to have to let you go from the family. And he's like, I never asked for this marriage to begin with.
Right. Dad.
I mean, the guy I wanted to get married to had his leg destroyed in a freak accident.
Right. And Mike also Mike didn't want to marry Case Keenum, but I think, and he made this incredibly clear at the combine before they signed Kirk, he wanted to marry a quarterback who I think he thought could do the job, but wouldn't break the bank completely. Now that might be a mistake too. I don't know. But the point is, I don't think that we've given that enough discussion. I mean, the one thing where we owe Everson Griffin a big thank you is he told the truth. Like, Kirk Cousins' ass was the headline, but the meat of that story is ask Mike if he ever wanted Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, a few things just to go back to some of the things you guys just said. So, Judd, you brought up shelf life that, hey, regardless of whether you're a great coach or not, like, sometimes 6, 7, 8 years is the extent of your shelf life with an organization. I'm going to push back on that, and that I think that shelf life starting to reach its expiration date is more driven by fans and media than it is oftentimes by players, because players cycle out. Mike Zimmer is not coaching the same players now, largely. I mean, he's still coaching Harrison Smith. There's a few guys. Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr. Like, he's not coaching the same players, though, for the most part, now as he did in 2015 or 2016. The rosters turn over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Rick Spielman still his boss? Yes. Are the Wolves still his bosses? Yes. And so could those relationships fray over time? Yes. But I think mostly when we think of shelf life, oh, it's just time for a change. I honestly think that's driven by the fans feel like it's time for a change, or the media feels like it's time for a change, more than the players and the organization. And then the organization starts to feel that from fans and media, because now they're getting questioned about this guy. And then what, I mean, look at the NFL. I can tell you right now, like, how many coaches, so it's 2021, half the league was hired in the last 3 years, right?
Right.
So was it just that, and hockey's worse, but like, is it just that, every 3 or 4 years, you just got to get a new voice in there, or are organizations, fan bases, and media just super impatient and just need to fire anyone the minute that they slip up? That's how I see it.
They're impatient, and hockey is especially weird. So that's almost a whole different animal, I think, completely. But when it comes to a guy like Mike, though, Phil, yes, the players cycle out, but it becomes very clear when your message is working, and it becomes very clear because it's not like players purposely are like, unless the coach is bad. I don't think they're purposely like, we hate you, we're not going to listen. But you can tell when a team buys in, and you can tell when a team doesn't. And part of the thing with Mike is, I think there's times where Mike being abrupt and upfront probably helps, but there's also a point in time where he's done it so much that it loses its effectiveness. So that's what I'm saying is, because I get it, players come and go, but some guys stay, and you can definitely tell. I mean, heck. An example of this, not in the exact same way as Mike, but an example is probably Guardy too. You know, at some point in time, what worked for him in 2003 started not working as well, or flat out didn't work. And it wasn't that it was the same guys, but you could tell that the act had grown thin and it wasn't working. And that becomes a problem. And by the way, I'm not saying that this team is definitively there with Mike, but I do think that that all goes into how much is the message getting across. And the guys like Tomlin and Belichick are just very rare breeds, and good for those teams, and they're good coaches. But I think that factors into the equation, and I don't think it's all us. I think it is how the locker room perceives you and how they go about either responding to your message and or flat out sort of ignoring it.
By the way, this dissection of Mike Zimmer presented also in part by PXG Minneapolis. So PXG has been presenting top shelf golf clubs to golfers around the Twin Cities and around the country for a while now. It's a hot brand. They make some great clubs. They've got great apparel. You probably see some PXG logos out and about on golf courses now. They're picking up momentum, and you can step into the golfer's paradise that is PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center and find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis. So to me, the biggest knock on Zimmer and the biggest thing that I would want to see before, you know, giving him an extension or extra seasons or whatever it is, his record against teams that finish the season 500 or above, actually teams that finish above 500, so 9-7 or better, he only wins 29% of those games. That's worse than Bill O'Brien before he got fired. It's worse than Dan Quinn. It's worse than Jason Garrett. It's worse than Mike McCarthy had a good run with the Packers, but it's worse than Mike McCarthy, John Harbaugh. So by comparison, so Zimmer wins 29% of games against winning teams. Belichick wins almost 70%. Now, of course, he's had Tom Brady for 20 years. But this is data just from 2014 through 20 when Mike Zimmer has been the coach of the Vikings. Andy Reid, almost 60% wins against above 500 teams. Pete Carroll, almost 60%. Mike Tomlin, 55%. Sean Payton, kind of coin flippy. So most coaches have losing records against teams that finish the season with a winning record, so that's not a crime. But 29% is really low. What do you think the main reason or reasons are for Zimmer and his teams not winning games against teams that finish the season with a winning record.
I'm going to give you a really a reason you might not like, but I have seen it before, and I especially saw it with Childress. And I think Mike has the same tendency, and I think it's a bad starting point. I think when the Vikings are going to play a really good team, Mike gets wound so tight that week that the players go into that game tight. And I'll give you the example of where Brad Childress and Mike Zimmer share the exact same thing. Anytime the Vikings are about to play the Patriots, those guys are as uptight as you could possibly get. It's almost like they are personally going to play Belichick. Like, I got to go against Belichick. It's going to be tough on the field.
I think a lot of teams probably feel that way.
They do, but what I'm saying is, think about weeks where the Vikings have been about to play a really good team. Mike gets wound very, very tight, and I don't think that, especially with today's younger humans, I don't think that's a big help. I think people need to go in somewhat confident but relaxed as well, and I think that presents not the entire problem, but I think it's part of the stew that we probably don't discuss enough because it's hard to quantify. And I feel like today, if things are hard to quantify, we try and dismiss them like, well, that's too tough to talk about. But let's talk about the analytics. And it's like, okay, that's part of it too. But let's also talk about the human factors that go into being successful. I mean, hell, Phil, it's true in business, right? Like, there's quantifiable things about the approach that a person takes going into a big transaction. There's quantifiable things about people who are successful and what makes them work and what makes them tick. And I don't think it helps people tick when your starting point for like a huge game is, okay, it's going to be tough. We got to bear down. And you're like, okay, but it's supposed to be fun too. We're supposed to have fun, right? And Mike's not a fun, you know, Mike's like, no, this is going to be tough. So I actually think that plays a role, and I'm sure there are some people watching or listening to this who will dismiss this and be like, that's typical Zolgad. He doesn't know. But I've seen it in teams I cover.
Well, the other thing you could say, if you just look at the four coaches, since Mike Zimmer was hired as Vikings coach, the four coaches that are above 500 against winning teams and their quarterbacks are Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes for about half of that time, and Alex Smith. Alex Smith was a good quarterback, and I think Alex Smith had some big games against, like, you know, he had a couple big playoff games, if memory serves. Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger. So we're talking about four first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks attached to those coaches.
Yep.
And
very fair.
One of the biggest knocks on this iteration of the Vikings is that the current quarterback, as talented as he is and accurate and as big of numbers as he can put up, mm-hmm. he doesn't, and I don't want to put all of the team wins and that record on one
Kirk
person.
Cater.
Well, man, you should see my timeline yesterday on Twitter. Oh my God.
It probably looks like mine on Sunday.
But he doesn't rise up in the biggest moments against the best teams. And we've looked up some of the numbers, like when his teams are down by one or two scores, last 6 minutes, fourth quarter, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And there's a few reasons for that. But when that's the driver of, like, the quarterback is driving wins and losses more than any other player on the roster, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And when your quarterback has that reputation, it also gets attached to you. And when your quarterback doesn't play well in those, since it's, hey, we need one drive right now, and it's a three and out against the Titans, right? I would be curious, what would Mike Zimmer's career look like if you just gave him a fully developed Russell Wilson for 6 years?
Okay,
you know, I think we'd be sure. Talking about a different narrative and reality against winning teams.
So let's be fair here. Let's take Cousins out of the discussion entirely, because I feel like he's such a Maurer like lightning rod that in any discussion where we broach his name becomes, well, you hate him, so this conversation shouldn't be being had. Let's take him out entirely. And let's dissect one big game in particular. And I realize it's against a good team, but I feel like that's the whole point of this part of our discussion.
Yes.
2017, NFC title game, Eagles, okay?
Eagles.
Go Eagles. Now, I'm not saying that the Vikings shouldn't have lost that game, but the manner in which they did was a complete embarrassment for a team that had been as good as they were on both sides of the ball, and especially defensively, right? Like, to me, that's a loss worth dissecting off the question that you just asked, because when you think about it, you know, you go into that game, you're coming off a huge win, and in which basically they all said, well, we celebrated so much off the Minneapolis miracle that we got blown out. Okay, that's not a real excuse. That's not like a viable, oh,
also,
okay.
I don't think they did. I feel like that's like retroactively you can kind of be like, yeah, maybe we didn't focus
but
enough.
I think that's a really intriguing Zimmer loss, because that's on him too. Like, Blair Walsh misses the field goal in 2015. And could Mike have made Blair very nervous? Yes, but I mean, Blair Walsh missed a field goal he's got to make. So that's a hard one to dissect as far as Mike goes. But I really think that the NFC title game loss is a really good starting point for looking at the record that you just gave and saying, okay, why in a big game where you supposedly have a defense that was damn good and you did, why are you getting blown out like that so badly where it's just basically an embarrassing loss?
Yeah, and I think there's also something to be said, too, throughout Zimmer's career for is his strategy of conservative offense and lean on defense to win games. Is that the best strategy to put yourself in a position to win the most regular season games so that you can play home playoff games, right?
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like the Vikings, especially offensively, it's like they have more weapons and more talent. Offensive lines have been an issue for them, and I get that. So I'm not saying it's a perfectly crafted offense personnel-wise, but are they calling plays and creating an environment to maximize the amount of wins they can tally in the regular season under Zimmer? And I would argue they're playing a little bit more close to the vest style philosophically. Mm-hmm. Like they're looking to avoid turnovers, which teams should be, but like there's almost an over-obsession with it. Like, oh, we're going to run the ball on second and short and just get the first down, as opposed to running play action three extra times and throwing a deep pass on those downs where the whole playbook is open. And so I don't think, unless they find a way to get home field advantage so they don't have to go to Philadelphia and be subject to that crowd and that momentum, you know, once Case Keenum threw the pick six in that game, everything kind of snowballed from there. I don't think, like, he can throw that pick six at home, and I don't think it snowballs. It definitely sucks, and it's right. And it's a huge momentum turn, but I don't think the game turns into 38-7 or whatever it was, and it's just over from that point if you're playing a home game.
Yeah.
So how are they maximizing the regular season is another big part of this discussion.
That's very true. So if you go through what you just said then, though, what's intriguing about it is you could make the case very solidly that you should open up things more, trust the quarterback more, and try and go on the offensive more often during the course of the season, because your template should work in the playoffs, which is where defense can be absolutely key. But that's what makes going back to the Eagles game so weird, is you got to that game. Like, that should have been, that was a cold, January day in Philadelphia. Like, that should have been a grinded out, Case Keenum sort of falls apart, but you got your defense, right?
Mm-hmm. Against their backup quarterback, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's Mike's pride and joy. Like, that was a Zim game. That's the blueprint. And your defense was awful.
Yeah.
And so that's where I just go to, it's an interesting, I think Mike is a good football coach, and I think he knows his stuff on defense for sure. But I think that there's definitely a discussion to be had about certain situations and games, and as you gave the stat, against winning teams, because that becomes incredibly important, and that's one place where he has definitely struggled.
You know, one more thing on this. I think what would happen if things don't go well for him this year and he does get fired, I think he would be the first guy swooped up as a defensive coordinator. I don't know which teams are going to have openings, but like someone's going to instantly hire him to be a maybe Dallas. You know, I know who's their defensive coordinator this year? They just fired
Dan Quinn, who was the Falcons head coach, because they fired their previous.
And Dan Quinn has a pedigree too. Wasn't he the defensive coordinator for that Super Bowl winning Seahawks team
for the Seahawks
years ago?
Was.
So
yep.
But like, he'll get swooped up right away, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Super Bowl as a coordinator at some point. If things don't go well this year for the Vikings.
I wonder if he would get one more head coaching shot.
He should.
Like, he's older, so that's
if
not
he wants
going
it,
to help
like,
him. But I feel like, well, first of all, with Mike being Mike, I think there's a 1,000% chance that he would want that shot. And I do think that he would, it would be, so if he got blown out, just quickly, it would be so interesting to hear his conversation with his next potential employer, to hear him basically say, we had a plan. We had Teddy, we had a defense, and then I got Kirk. They gave me Kirk. Shotgun marriage.
Yeah, that's 100% what he would say, I'm sure.
So, I heard it all week long, right? 0-9 on Monday night. You like how this tastes?
Just the line. All right. All right, we're gonna take a deep breath here. We're going to pause for a second, and we're going to come back with Write That Down and an accountability session. This is where we admit that we were wrong. When are you guys going to admit that you were wrong?
Everyone's
coming up next.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Yep. Yep. This is it. Every Wednesday on both Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily, this is where we admit that we were wrong. Although sometimes we're right, too.
Yeah.
We celebrate being right. But this is our weekly prediction segment. Here's how it works. 3 predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you guys want to participate, you can open up the Score North app and send us a message through the feedback function. Just send a note to Declan, and we'll get you scheduled out. Speaking of the Score North app, by the way, if you guys want to hang out with Judd and Declan in a suite to watch the Gophers play in Miami of Ohio on September 11th, 11 a.m. kickoff, and maybe sip a couple adult beverages and also get a pair of Chill Boys or two, you can do that. You can enter. It's free to enter. You just have to open the Score North app, go to the rewards section, and you can enter to win a chance to hang out. Or I don't know if "win" is the right word. Hanging out with you, but you win the chill boys. Yes. Yeah, and then you can tolerate Declan, being around Judd.
Who cares? But the chill boys. I'm going to tell you right now, life altering. Yeah, you want the chill boys.
Change your life. So yeah, go check that out on the Score North app. You guys ready for the accountability session? Should we get right in here?
Do this,
and then we'll get to Craig, our guest listener predictor here on Write That Down. Mm-hmm. So, Judd Zolgad, not a lot of stuff coming off the board this week, but Judd had one thing that we're going to take off the board here because he's out for the season. He said Alex Kirilloff will play as many or more games at first base as he does in left field.
Yeah.
He did. He played, I think he technically played more games in the outfield overall when you count for right field, but he did play more games at first.
And I don't know if he had appeared in a game at first base for the Twins when I made that prediction because Sano was so bad, I just thought that they would move him eventually, and they did.
Are you angling for a home run here?
No. I'm just saying it was a first guess. I'm very happy. You're just trying to let the audience know
this prediction was a line shot to the gap.
It's a double in the box score. Let me put it that way, okay?
I said the Twins will win exactly 94 games, and this last week, mathematically, that became impossible.
You should say 96 like I did.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, actually, did you go on the record with that? I don't think you went on the Write That Down record.
I don't think I did. I think I just went on the I'm going to make a fool of myself in a prediction segment.
Twins have 71 losses, so if they ran the table.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry about 90, it. You're right to take it off the 90. Board.
91. Yeah, they could still win 91 games.
Stop doing
if they
math.
The table.
Yeah. You're right to take it off the board.
Oh, man. There were a lot of people, man. I saw people in the Twins blogosphere even like a month ago. Oh, well, what if they can finish 50-8 the rest of the way?
God.
They look pretty good against the Royals. All right, listeners had nothing come off the board. Declan, you said Becky Lynch will make her return to WWE between June 30th and SummerSlam. You beat the buzzer on that. She did come back at SummerSlam, mm-hmm. although I feel like they botched the whole thing.
They did botch the entire thing.
Guys,
absolutely embarrassing by WWE. AEW stole the show on Friday. I'm actually shocked you or myself didn't have any CM Punk predictions. But yes, they absolutely botched that at SummerSlam. I love Becky. Like, Becky Lynch is their stable. Like, she is the top dog on their food chain, and they completely botched it. Completely botched.
No need to bury another top performer like that in Bianca, really. And what was the point of Carmella coming out?
Yeah, I don't know the whole thing. Weird.
You also said John Cena will win the Universal Championship at SummerSlam. He did not.
Back to Hollywood for Cena. He just confirmed that, by the way.
Oh, so it was just like a one-month return to the WWE?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. He might make an appearance, I guess, they're at MSG in a couple weeks in New York, and he might be there for that, but he like basically confirmed on Twitter, like, hey, thanks for the run. I'm going back. I have other obligations. So
can he act?
No.
Like when I've seen him try to act, The Rock can act. He's good.
He's not Denzel Washington, but like he can act a little bit. You think he's a bad actor?
I don't think he's a very good actor. No, I think he's pretty bad.
He was really bad in the LeBron James film.
Yeah,
Trainwreck.
Yeah, I thought he was awful.
Wasn't he? Was he? There was like a sex scene with him.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Very uncomfortable. Yeah. Very uncomfortable.
Supposedly the rumor was it really happened on set.
Yes.
Wait, really?
Well, it kind of happened. They were both unclothed.
Doctor. Yeah. That's the Doctor Thugonomics. I was very uncomfortable that entire scene.
And then you said the Vikings will find a way to trade Kirk Cousins this offseason.
That looks like a bad prediction now, Declan.
Okay. All right.
Somebody who brought – there was – Vikings Twitter was just crushing me and Judd yesterday. Somebody brought back
– Deshaun.
You know, that Deshaun we predicted Watson. That the Vikings would trade for Deshaun Watson. Like, looks like this didn't age very well. No, it did not.
Vikings Twitter has been crushing us basically since Sunday. The weird thing is, I love it. I really enjoy it.
It's great, but we're just a bunch of fun-loving guys who want championships, okay? That's all we want. I feel like we're misunderstood.
Very misunderstood.
Sometimes.
Very misunderstood.
So, Judd, you still lead. Your batting average still over 400, 407 with five home runs.
Flying crew.
Declan, 356 with two home runs. I'm at 354, two home runs. And listeners at 304 with a league-leading six home runs on the season. Judd, we have career stats going back to 2018. The bookkeepers did not keep detailed stats before that we, at least, I don't know, they're lost.
You're
like somewhere.
Yeah. You're like sacks.
Like sacks, yeah.
Right, exactly.
How in 1976 didn't you keep sacks?
We're going to find it.
Until 1982, you couldn't have kept hits?
We're going to make our weekend guys go back from like, write that down archives from 2014 and 17, and you have to track each week, you have to track a new write that down session.
Yes, you have to check all the predictions, everything there's still some predictions on the board that we have from like 5-6 years ago. We can do another dive into those at some point. We also haven't done a home run edition to write that down in months.
No,
so
we got to do that.
We should do forced home runs next week. So Judd has 175 career hits, 13 career home runs. I have 140 career hits, 12 career home runs. Listeners, 116 career hits and a league-leading 15 career home runs. Declan, 63 hits and 4 home runs. All right, let's get him in here. Guest listener predictor Craig.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
You are a gym teacher. You are physically fit, and you are here to make your presence known, Craig. What's your strategy today?
I'm going to show Mike Zimmer what he should do offensively. We're going to go with like an 8-yard hit throw, and then on second and 2, we're going to get deep instead of just handing the ball off to Dalvin Cook.
I love it. We only heard part of that because I think your connection's breaking up a little bit here. So let's start with Judd. We'll go Judd, Declan, me, and then we'll get back to Craig sort of at the end of the line and hope that the connection is better. But Judd, why don't you lead us off this week?
Write it down. You like writing things down.
I'm actually going to take a football prediction and put it in old school, write that down, because I have that many football thoughts this week.
So many football thoughts.
So many. I've been crushing preseason games. I've been crushing quarterback play. Again last night. All right. Mac Jones will be the Patriots Week 1 starter.
Wow. Yeah, there's some rumblings that Cam is, I mean, hasn't Cam, now he's in COVID protocol again. And
yeah.
He was also pretty terrible last year. It's been kind of banged up.
And Mac Jones is good.
Yeah. All right, Declan.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
I'll get one that's quantifiable in the next week. The Wild will announce a trade between now and next week's Write That Down. Pure speculation.
Ooh, okay.
Nothing informed here. No sources confirmed.
Something?
No, I don't actually. This is no insiding.
Are you reaching out to friends of the show?
No, I have not reached out to the friends of the show. I have not reached out to other more plugged in people than me. I just have a little hunch, a little reckless speculation, okay. little shot in the arm punch here on a Wednesday and a hump day. And I'm going to say the Wild will announce a trade.
Off the record, who?
Yeah, off the record.
They're going to trade for a center. They're just going to pull a trigger on this trade. They got to do something. I'm just trying to speak this into existence, too. Like, I think that's what I want. I just want a legitimate center. I don't know who it is. I'd love if it was Thomas Hertl, but I don't think it's going to be Thomas Hertl. Right. It's probably more someone like Christian Dvorak. But, yes, I think the Wild will announce a trade between now and next week's Write That Down.
All right, there it is.
Write that down.
All right, write this down. The Twins will part ways with at least two current major league coaches. I'll just say by December 1st, including Wes Johnson. So I'm saying they'll part ways with at least two current major league coaches, including Wes Johnson, by December 1st. Write it down.
All right.
There has to be some sort of scapegoat or scapegoats for a season like this. I don't think Falvey or Levine get let go. I don't think Rocco's going to get let go.
No.
I don't think Rocco's a great manager. But I don't think they're just kind of a quick trigger. So they need a couple changes, and Wes Johnson seems like the obvious choice here.
Okay.
As much as he was lauded a few years ago.
Okay.
All right, Craig, we got you okay here?
Yeah. Do you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes, there we go. Perfect.
All right, my first prediction is actually a Judd prediction, so I'm going to need Judd to take off his headset.
Judd, no cheating here.
Okay, wait.
Take him off. Go away.
Okay.
Back up.
All right. Write that down. On September 8th or September 15th, Judd will make a check down Vikings prediction. And I'll let Mackie and Declan, you guys can say if it's check down or not, but something like Cook's going to run for like 70 yards.
I love it, dude. I love it. And by the way, I think this prediction is a check down as well, because it's so obvious that he's going to make a check down prediction. But yes.
I was listening to the Write That Down from like 2 weeks ago when he said Sano would hit a home run.
Yeah, dude, he's already got four. He already has four.
With 50 games left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Can I come back?
Yes, you can come back.
Yeah, you can come back. You can come back.
To be honest, never mind. I can't even because it's going to spoil. I'll hold it.
I love it.
I saw great laughter, but I have no idea. So
okay,
all right. That's the way we.
What is 20 Shirleys in the next 5 days?
Wow, how did you guess exactly the prediction? No.
Dang,
this one actually has nothing to do with Shirleys.
Write it down. You like writing things down?
All right, Judd, back to you. Your second prediction.
All right, the New York Mets, the Metropolitans, will fire manager Luis Rojas either during this season or after it. The Mets, who have gone in the tank, will fire their manager. I have a prediction that Aaron Boone would be fired. That's not going to happen. So I'm going to try and offset it with the Mets firing their manager.
What is can we just put like a by the beginning of next season then for a deadline?
Yes, he can't be the manager next season.
Okay, that works.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Declan.
I have a Twins prediction here. Little tag team parlay, if you will. Josh Donaldson and Miguel Sano will not be on the Twins roster in 2022.
Wow.
I'm going to say they will both be parted ways. I don't know how they're going to part their ways, and that's why I'm just leaving it off that they will not be on the Twins 2022 roster. But I'm going to package them together as a little home run swing there that both of them will not be on the roster in 2022.
So if you're right on that prediction, isn't this a full rebuild now? Like it's already kind of a rebuild because they traded Berríos, but like it would be a full. I mean, they'd be trading away established players for presumably prospects, right? I don't know a scenario in which you would trade. I mean, certainly if Donaldson gets traded, it's for prospects or just to offload the cash.
Yeah, it's to offload the cash.
The latter, yeah.
But I mean, he can't. He's broken down, and Miguel, God bless him, just. Is not that good. And don't tell me that, look at how he's playing lately.
He's been super hot the last month. Yeah, he's basically Harmon Killebrew.
Most predictable thing in the world. Zero pressure.
I don't know. He's got pressure to stay in the big leagues.
Yeah, pressure.
Isn't that pressure enough?
One more home run over the next 40 games. Must be really tough for him to do that one, too.
I need to get that home run soon.
Really excited for the TwinsDaily.com retort of Judd Zulgad's Miguel Sano slander. Be very exciting. All right, is it my turn now?
Yes, sir, your turn.
Okay. All right, hey, I've got Gopher football fever here. We're like, what, 9 or 10 days away from the opener, Ohio State? So I think I have a prediction at some point in the offseason in Purple Daily that the Gophers will win this game. I'm going to hedge a little here on this version. I'm going to say the Gophers cover the spread. So the Gophers will cover. And by the way, Dex, the line I was looking at this morning is 13.5. Ohio State's a 13.5 favor. So I'm going to get in on 13.5 right now if you want to put that in the notes in case that spread changes dramatically.
Write this down.
All right, back to Craig, your second prediction, sir.
My second prediction is going to be a touchdown. It's going to be a shot to the end zone, and I'm going to say it's a three-part parlay. Ooh. Dalvin Cook is going to rush for at least 2,000 yards.
Ooh. Whoa, this is a touchdown without the parlay, by the way. So
that alone.
Justin Jefferson is going to have at least 1,800 reception yards.
Whoa, dude.
And a team that is not in the playoffs after week 17 will be in the playoffs and win a game in the NFL.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay, hold on. So that last one. So clarify that one for me.
So the usual season would end after week 17. And I'm saying a team who wouldn't have made the playoffs usually will now make it because of the extra week.
Got it.
Will go on to win a game.
Okay. So this would be terrible for you if the first two of those things came to fruition, which, by the way, if that happens, the Vikings are going undefeated, and that would be amazing. But then if the third one whiffs, we have to give you the buzzer on this. But we will acknowledge the greatness that is any part of this parlay. Just
Zimmer
so you know.
Said he wanted to throw the deep ball, so we're throwing the deep ball.
I love it, dude.
That's holy not just cow. The deep ball, dude. That's
this is
Michael
this
Vick is, in that commercial from the 90s in the Coliseum where he throws the ball. I mean, that's three predictions right there. Like, that's three. Write that down.
That's great. Woo. All right, back to Judd. We'll take a final trip around the room here.
Final write that down prediction. Anthony Edwards will get at least one MVP vote for the 2021-22 NBA season.
Dude.
Ant will get at least one MVP vote.
I saw a video yesterday. I was binging YouTube last night. I talked to you guys on the Royce Unchained about watching 35 minutes of Brock Lesnar with the bearded butchers just chopping up a pig, basically just silently chopping up a pig. It was very uncomfortable. But then I also stumbled upon, I think it was like the Hoops Nerd or something. It was a YouTube channel I've never heard of, but this guy just does like full season breakdowns. Did like a 20-minute breakdown of the Timberwolves and had all of these amazing things to say about Anthony Edwards. So he covers the Jazz, and he was like, no, you guys don't realize this team beat the crap out of the Jazz twice down the stretch, and this team is going to be legit in 2021-22. So, Judd, welcome to Wolves Kool-Aidville with me.
I was going
to
say, you are an LOB, baby.
All right, Declan, your final prediction.
Yeah, an AEW prediction from me.
Yes.
Bray Wyatt will sign with AEW.
It's being reported that that's going to happen, just so everyone knows.
Between now and the end of the year, too, I'll quantify it as in 2021. But Bray Wyatt will sign with AEW. Another botch job from WWE. That is AEW's game.
Sounds like they're about to get Ric Flair, hopefully not to wrestle, because he's like 70. Yeah.
Write this down.
All right, my final prediction here. Jameis Winston, write this down. Jameis Winston. I'm overreacting to his last preseason game almost certainly here, but I'm going to go with it. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston will lead the NFL in passing yards this season. He might throw 20 picks. They might win 5 games, which might actually help my cause here.
Right.
But I'm going to say he leads the NFL in passing yards. They're going to cut it loose. Sean Payton probably loves that big arm. So I'm drinking some Jameis Winston Kool-Aid too. All right, Craig, your third and final prediction.
The Minnesota Gophers will win the Big Ten West this season.
Ooh.
You really came driving the ball downfield. I didn't hear the first one because it's about me, but you really came in guns ablaze.
Let me open up the ESPN.com College Football Power Index.
Index.
I just want to see which Big Ten West team. So they got the Badgers 15th. All right, that's doable.
Yep.
They got the Gophers 41st among all teams, and they got the Badgers as the best team in the West, and they're only 15th.
Where's Northwestern?
Northwestern is 33rd.
Okay.
Trying to find. So Iowa's 24th. So they've got, but the fact that the best team is only 15th in Wisconsin, then I could see it. Listen, I feel like everyone's sleeping on the Gophers, man. Craig, I feel like everyone has sort of just written them off after last year.
Yeah, I think the defense last year wasn't great, and then, you know, not always having fans in the games, and with COVID it being a weird year, but I like Tanner Morgan. I think he has a bounce back year.
So, Craig, since you have this gigantic life-changing platform right now on Mackie and Judd, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that got you here?
I got to thank my girlfriend, just like everyone else who comes on this show, for putting up with me and yelling at the Vikings, yelling at Jake Cave and why he's still playing. And also my dad. My dad was a Vikings fan growing up, and then he went and is now a Patriots fan, so he switched sides. But I'm seeing this through, and hopefully we win a Super Bowl before I die.
Your dad, hold on a second. So your dad adopted the Patriots and gave up on the Vikings?
It's genius,
really.
Yeah,
he's a big Fran Tarkenton guy, and I guess Christian Ponder just didn't cut it for him.
Oh, well. Okay.
All right. Yeah, Tommy Brady. Yeah,
How many times, Craig, in your life have you ranted or vented to your girlfriend about Jake Cave specifically?
At least 5 times this season. Yeah. At least.
It's justified.
Well, like, he did have two hits. He did have two hits, and he hit a line drive to end the game last night. So maybe he's on to something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Thanks, Phil.
God.
All right, that's Craig, guest listener predictor. Great work, dude. We're excited to follow your deep shots down the field here. We'll see what happens.
Thanks, guys.
All right. By the way, those predictions by Craig, those home run shots powered by Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. You want to talk about power, all right? Dennis Kirk. Harleys, Metric Cruisers, Sport Bikes, whatever you ride, you can find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Order by 8 p.m. They ship the same day, and shipping is free for orders over $89. Plus, they support us. So if you guys could support them, then you're supporting us, and everybody wins. DennisKirk.com. When the open road calls, head to DennisKirk.com. That was great, dude. That guy made some great predictions.
Huge predictions.
I love it, man.
His 3-1... could have been just 3. Like, he could have come on the show and made those 3 predictions, and they all hold up as being impressive.
If Dalvin Cook runs for 2,000,
I mean, 2,000
and
yards?
Justin Jefferson goes for 1,800 yards receiving, how does the Viking season end?
That means that Mike Zimmer resigned or is not coaching the team at all.
Really? Because I think it means Mike Zimmer had an awakening.
Well, no, the Dalvin Cook thing is viable. But the receiving yardage for Jefferson's would be incredible.
I think it would mean that Adam Thielen got hurt, and it was like Justin Jefferson, KJ, and Justin Jefferson was like 2003 Randy Moss, like post Chris Carter Randy Moss, where he's just getting all of the targets.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be
or like DeAndre Hopkins in Houston, you know, before Will Fuller got there. It's like, all right, we're gonna throw you 175 passes, and no one else is gonna get the ball.
Week 1, Zim traded straight up for Sean McVay. McVay comes here, opens it up, and Justin Jefferson has a huge year, and Kirk's happy. How's that?
That's a good segue, because tomorrow's show, you're already getting us primed for Reckless Speculation Thursday here.
Darn
on
straight.
Mackie and Judd. Daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Please, if you're watching on the Score North YouTube channel, click the subscribe button and go tell 5 masochistic Minnesota sports friends that Mackie and Judd exist.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
At the Home Depot, we have plenty of Christmas trees to make your holidays even more magical. Hundreds of full, easy-to-assemble artificial trees that look so real, you may be convinced they actually are. And for those who love that fresh pine smell, we have a parking lot full of fresh-cut trees to call your own. We'll even help you load your tree in the car so you can bring home the holidays. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.